It's episode 474 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. The ALCS and NLCS are getting absolutely intense. The Astros are getting way too close to going to another World Series. But let's get into it on this episode of Locked On Rangers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are locked onto the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, here today to talk about all the great postseason action. But first, I want to say thank you for making Locked On Rangers your first listen of the day. Now, these have been some pretty intense games in the ALCS and NLCS, a little bit closer in the NLCS. I mean, the series is very close in the ALCS as well, but the games haven't been as close except for, you know, the beginning parts. They've been kind of wild. But I want to get into first the Rangers related topic of what happened in this Braves Dodgers game and which Ranger blew the lead. This was a very close game on, I believe this was Tuesday. The Braves were doing well. The Dodgers got a two-run home run off from Corey Seager in the bottom of the first inning that was able to, you know, hold the lead until the top of the fourth inning. A four-run inning by the Braves. They were able to get a lot of runs off of Walker Buehler, who didn't look his sharpest self. I mean, he struck out three in 3 2/3 innings, but also allowed six hits, four runs. Only two of those were earned, but walked three. That's not really like him. He hasn't been super great this postseason. It's been a lot of issues with, you know, Dodgers starting pitching this postseason, whether it's the misuse of Max Scherzer or, you know, only using Julio Urias as out of the pen as the primary starter. They've done some weird stuff for sure. And, you know, not having Clayton Kershaw is definitely, you know, it's definitely hurt them. But there's no way around it. He's not their best pitcher this year. That's obviously Walker Buehler, or Max Scherzer. But he is, you know, the ace of the staff, the veteran, you know, the pitcher of a generation. I know he's had his struggles in the postseason, but most of that just consisted of him not being taken out early enough, which, you know, makes sense because the times where he wasn't being taken out was when he was by far and away the best pitcher in baseball, by far and away the best pitcher of his generation. His prime is a little bit past, but he's still a very good pitcher, and not having him for this postseason is definitely hurting him. But the pen was able to come in and do fairly well, except for Corey Knebel, former Ranger great, allowed to hit in a walk and only got one out and did allow a run. But the rest of their pen was able to do fairly well. Charlie Morton had a decent start. Five innings, just two runs. Six walks he worked around. Six walks. You know, the only runs he allowed were from Corey Seager, that home run. He walked, I believe, the leadoff batter, and then Corey Seager drove him in with a home run. And then he struck out five and did not allow another run for the rest of the five innings of work that he did. Solid work in the bullpen for everybody, except for former Ranger Luke Jackson. This guy just did not have it in this one. Also, somehow Jesse Chavez is a member of the Braves. I completely missed when the heck that happened. Another former Ranger great. Honestly, kind of forgot that he was still in the league. He's 38 years old. But, you know, he's still there. He's still doing his postseason stuff. This is only his second postseason of action. He was in the postseason in 2018 with the Cubs. Then he pitched 2019, 2020 with the Rangers. He's been with the Braves apparently all this year. I must have completely missed that. But, you know, here he is, pitched 33 2/3 innings of work in 30 games. Four of those were starts, so he's done some work as the opener. And I believe he was the opener for Drew Smyly, another former Ranger great, who did surprisingly well this season, and even surprisingly well in a win over the Dodgers. Actually, not that well, but like well enough, better than I thought. Julio Urias finally started and kind of got lit up in this second game, but I'm not done talking about this first game. And four runs that were given up by Luke Jackson. He just did not have it, allowed a three-run home run to Corey Bellinger. It was not great. They had a three-run lead, a 5-2 lead going into that eighth inning. And Luke Jackson has pitched a lot in that eighth inning as their setup man. And he just could not get guys out, bloop singles here or there. And even the home run that he gave up, even the home run that he gave up to Cody Bellinger, it was a pitch, a high fastball out of the zone, completely out of the zone, probably like an inch or two above the strike zone. It was absolutely nuts that he turned on this pitch and, you know, went yard on it. It's just kind of wild to me. But Bellinger, despite having an awful, awful season, has had a really good postseason. In 27 at-bats, he's got one home run, eight hits, six RBI, four stolen bases, an on-base of 387, OPS of 832, much, much better than he had done previously. The regular season, he had a 542 OPS, just very unlike him, an on-base of 240, a batting average of 165. This is a guy who won MVP not that many years ago. I believe 2018 was when he won his MVP, and then it was him and Christian Yelich that were the guys that were supposed to be duking out for MVP for the next few years. But both of them kind of fell off a cliff during 2020 and fell even further off of a cliff this year in 2021. Yelich didn't get that much time to, you know, in the postseason to turn things around. Bellinger's had a little bit more time because, you know, his team's a little bit better. So he's been able to turn it around a little bit. But man, that guy is really come up clutch. Same with Corey Seager. Corey Seager's been fantastic in the postseason. Justin Turner, a guy who's been really good in the postseason, Trey Turner, a guy who was great in the regular season, has not quite come up to the levels that they expect him. Same with Justin Turner as well, a guy who's done very well in the clutch, but just not really having it this postseason. And I believe he got injured in the most recent game. So definitely some concerns there for the Dodgers. But man, this Braves team is really stinking good. And it was a shame they dropped that one, because if they didn't, then they would have swept the Dodgers, a team that won 106 games. But I'm going to take a quick break and come back and look a little bit more what's going on in this NLCS, how some other former Rangers performed, and a quick look at the ALCS and what the heck is going on over there. But first, this word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With an ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Large, endure, pointless, or even seemingly intimidating questioning, and wait while a person behind the counter orders parts on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why would you choose to spend up to 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every single customer. They've got everything you need. So go explore the easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Now, Atlanta sports fans, if there's any Atlanta sports fans, just general state of Georgia sports fans, like, are you okay? Like, I know Rangers fans are not okay, and they have been dealt a lot of punishment and a lot of sadness. But, like, the whole city of Atlanta, like, sometimes I think it's rough being a Dallas sports fan. You know, there's only one championship in this millennia, just the 2011 Dirk run, which was great, all-time great championship run in the history of sports. That was fun. Nothing will ever take away from it. But, you know, I'm not saying that I wouldn't have liked the Rangers to follow that up in 2011 and win a World Series and, you know, make it two championships this millennia. That would have been fun as well. You know, there's a lot of painful Cowboys games, a lot of painful Stars losses. Past two seasons for the Rangers have been very, very painful. But man, Atlanta sports fans, there's a lot of postseason collapses. And I thought blowing that three-run lead in the eighth inning, I thought that, oh gosh, that might be the turning point for the Dodgers to, you know, turn around and take this series. Took a 2-1 lead. They came back instead of taking it. They could have had a 3-0 lead. Instead, they were only up 2-1. I thought, okay, well, the Dodgers team is really stinking good. There's a lot of these guys that aren't hitting quite as well. Trey Turner's a really good baseball player. Like, he's going to turn around eventually. Justin Turner's going to turn around eventually. Gavin Lux has not done much of anything in this postseason. And they wanted his bat in there, and he hasn't got a single postseason hit up to the last game. Still has not gotten a postseason hit, and they moved him to center field, a position he had rarely ever played, was mostly an infielder, so they could get his bat in the lineup, so they could keep Trey Turner's bat in the lineup. Both of them have not done very well at all. But I thought, you know, Atlanta, they've been hurt so badly before. Is this the time they get hurt badly again? And you know what? The Braves came back and said, no, we're fine. We're not traumatized by, you know, a 28-3 Super Bowl. We're not traumatized by Georgia football. We're not traumatized by, you know, the other Braves postseason collapses. And Eddie Rosario said, I'm really dang good. People don't realize that about me, but I'm going to have a second four-hit game in this series and absolutely go off like a freaking firecracker. Two postseason home runs, one off Urias in the second inning and one off of Tony Gonsolin, a three-run shot to just break the game wide open in that ninth inning instead of a 5-2 lead, a three-run lead, which they had, you know, very recently blown, like the day before. Instead, it was a 7-run lead, which, you know, Braves fans felt a little more comfortable. I'm not going to say that they felt comfortable in general, but, like, I would say more comfortable for sure. Like, they obviously had to feel more comfortable. But anyway, Jesse Chavez was the opener in this one, worked a perfect first inning. Drew Smalley comes in, gets credit for the win because the win is such a weird and dumb stat. Pitched 3 1/3 innings, allowed two hits, two earned runs, two runs total, a walk, two strikeouts. Former Ranger Chris Martin came in, worked 2/3 of an inning, was able to get out of the fifth inning, which Drew Smalley was not able to, even though he was spotted one inning of work. I still don't understand how this man is like pitching in the big leagues in big spots in the NLCS. This man is pitching, and I just don't get it. And the Braves are like, they're still winning. They're not being punished for it. Kind of wild to me, but you know, the rest of the bullpen was able to do their work. Mentor worked a couple of innings, shut out baseball. Matzek came in, got a hold. Will Smith came in and shut the door down with a 7-run lead that he was spotted to, worked perfect ninth inning. Good on him. Tony Gonsolin, who I haven't heard much about this postseason. He's a guy who did very, very well last year, had a really good regular season. Not so good in the postseason this year, only 3 games, 4 innings, has an 11.25 ERA. That is not what you're wanting. That is not ideal. In case you're wondering, those numbers are in fact quite bad. So his nickname on here, I always love looking at these because they're so random. His nickname is Goose with, I believe, 5 O's. Which just seems excessive. Just call him Goose. Like, just, you don't need the full ooh sound effect. Let people improvise however many O's they want in here. But yeah, the Braves are taking it to this team. I'm really impressed with the Braves. I'm just really impressed with them. They lost so many people. They lost basically their entire starting outfield. It was a really good outfield as well, but they traded for Eddie Rosario. They traded for Duvall. They traded for Jock Peterson. And those guys have come up huge. And OPS, I believe, just under 1,000 for them through however many postseason games we're at. Eddie Rosario has had 2 4-hit games. Anybody could have traded for him. Anybody. He has a 1690 OPS, Eddie Rosario does. 1690. That's absolutely bonkers. Duvall is playing center field, which is not something I thought was wise or, you know, even really possible, but he robbed a home run and kept the Braves in this one. Not that they were not in it, but, you know, kept them having some distance from the Dodgers. Would have made things fairly close and fairly uncomfortable, a lot more uncomfortable than Braves fans are willing to be, because they have been hurt before, like I said, many, many times by Atlanta sports in general. But their offense, the Dodgers offense just wasn't able to do much in this one. Only 4 hits for them. Just 4. Albert Pujols had a pinch hit. Justin Turner had one. Bellinger had a hit as well. And AJ Pollock had a pinch hit, 2-run single. But like, it's just it's just wild seeing this Dodgers offense, you know, not live up to its potential. I thought that they'd be absolutely unstoppable. Also, a lot of people giving the Dodgers offense the edge over the Giants, even though the Giants, like in that series back in the NLDS, which still insane that that happened in the NLDS, not the NLCS, but you know, maybe the Dodgers wouldn't have gotten to the NLCS because they would have played the Braves and the Braves would have beat them. But still, I didn't trust the the Giants offense because it was full of mostly older guys having career years that I didn't think was sustainable. But the Dodgers offense is full of guys in their prime that are really good hitters, and they're just not hitting. Like the Braves pitching staff, credit to them. I just didn't think that, you know, Jesse Chavez, a 38-year-old, and Will Smiley would be able to shut them down like they did, or Chris Martin, 38-year-old Chris Martin as well. But credit to them. Starting pitching for the Braves has been fantastic and has really shut down an offense that I thought would be one of the best, if not the best, in baseball this year. But I'm going to take a quick break when we come back and look at the ALCS, what the heck's happening over there, and why the Red Sox need to step it up already, because we're all rooting for them, and just eliminate the freaking Astros already. Coming up, grab this word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface before the start of basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website, sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus for basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Now, I'm kind of disappointed with the Red Sox. I didn't think they'd be here. I didn't think the Astros, I kind of did think the Astros would get this far. But my dumb self picked the White Sox to win the World Series anyway. Even though they were eliminated in the first round. It's fine. I'm fine. Definitely not mad at all. But man, Red Sox, they took a commanding, you know, 2-1 lead, felt like. It felt commanding. And, you know, they were going to stay in Fenway. And, you know, I'm disappointed. I'm very disappointed, Red Sox. I don't like cheering for Boston sports, even though there's some very nice people who like Boston sports and I like them and we're friends, but that doesn't mean that I want good sports things for them. Boston took a 2-1 lead in this game 4. And it held for almost the entire game until they got to the 8th inning. They allowed one run, tied it up. And it's like, okay, well, maybe this is going to go extras. Nick Pivetta, who I didn't trust, shut down this Astros offense. Went 5 innings, only allowed one run, only 2 hits. And the only run came off of a home run from Alex Bregman in that first inning, which I believe was Bregman's first home run of the postseason. Anyway, and that second run came from Jose Altuve in the top of the 8th inning to tie the game. But this Red Sox offense, like, I need to see more from these guys. I mean, it was mostly a bullpen day. Zach Greinke only went an inning and a third. An inning and a third from Zach Greinke, a guy who has been in the postseason many a time, a guy who is a seasoned veteran, the most seasoned veteran on this team that's actually pitching. But they weren't able to get anything off of Christian Javier, off of Raley, off of Mattin, off of Kendall Graveman either. They just couldn't get anything done and definitely couldn't get anything off of Alex Presley once they were down 9-2. They allowed 7 runs in the top of the 9th inning. I don't know why. I don't know why they put Nathan Eovaldi, a starting pitcher, one of their best starting pitchers, in the top of the 9th inning, a situation he has rarely, if ever, been in before. And then bring in Martin Perez, because surely that'll fix it. No, Martin Perez goes a third of an inning, allows 4 hits, 3 runs, 2 of those are earned, and walks the guy and only gets 1 out. Eovaldi got 2 outs, but allowed 4 runs. All of those were earned. Every single base runner he allowed on scored. So, like, I don't I don't get it. It didn't make sense. Surely they had somebody else in the pen. Surely they had somebody else in the pen, which that's also the problem when you only let your starters go 65 pitches. They only let Nick Pivetta, their starter, throw 65 pitches. He was through five innings, only allowed one run. Why didn't you let him go further? If this bullpen's so depleted, they're going to be pulling out one of your best starters from the pen in the ninth inning of a tie game situation he's not used to being in. Why aren't you letting your starter throw more than 65 pitches? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. The postseason management of starting pitchers has been insane. Nobody knows how to use their starters. They're not letting them throw nearly as far. They're using them as, you know, spot starters, these guys who are aces, guys who have, you know, Cy Young potential. They're like, no, we're going to throw one guy in the first inning, throw a different guy in the second inning. You can go like third through sixth or whatever. Like, why are we overthinking these things? Why are we taking these good pitchers, putting them in spots that they're not comfortable with? It doesn't make any sense. It's bad managing. It's bad baseball. It's just stupid. And it makes me angry. But yeah, they allowed seven runs in the top of the ninth inning of a tie game at home and didn't give themselves a chance to actually win it. Then they go in, and to their credit, they were in it for most of this game because of starting pitching. Chris Sale went 5 1/3 innings. This one I kind of get not letting him go as far, but he at least threw 87 pitches through 5 1/3 innings, allowed four runs. Only two of those were earned because the defense has been questionable. A pair of errors by Boston in this one. Not a lot of Sale's fault. He can't score as well as, you know, hitting. He did allow one home run, but it was only a solo shot to Yordan Alvarez, which, you know, that'll happen. Yordan Alvarez is really stinking good, and has been one of the only reliable hitters on this team in the postseason. Gurriel has also done very well, but Correa's come up in spots. Tucker's come up in spots. Bregman has not really lived up to anything close to what they wanted to do. Altuve has been fine. Not good, but just fine. Brantley has not been that good at all. So, you know, maybe pitch around Yordan Alvarez. But the Red Sox have been given every chance to just, you know, step up. Framber Valdez is a really good pitcher, but him going eight innings, only allowing one run, three hits, and the one run came off of a home run by Rafael Devers in the seventh inning. Like, I need more from this Red Sox offense. You know, the Astros didn't really score their runs until the sixth inning. Boston was down just 1-0 from the top of the second inning all the way to the top of the sixth. There was time. There was time for this team to, you know, dig out of their hole. But once they went down 6-0 in that sixth inning, and then they got one more run scored on them in the top of the seventh, and then allowed two more in the ninth just for show to make sure. It's just this offense is not stepping up in timely ways like they did against the Rays. And I know the Astros are good, but like, come on, Red Sox. Come on, Red Sox. Please don't make all the teams that I don't like cheering for lose this postseason while I'm cheering for them. The Yankees did it. The Red Sox are now doing it. And I swear, if whoever wins the NLCS plays the Astros and I cheer for them, the Astros win, I'm going to be just real mad. I'm just going to be real mad. Granted, I was going to be mad no matter what if the Astros won, no matter who they were playing. So that's a whole other deal. But this Astros team is vulnerable. Their lineup isn't as deep, isn't performing as deep as it should. Their pitchers are good, but not elite, and this Red Sox offense is one of the best in baseball. So freaking hit like it. Kike Hernandez, don't come all the way back down to earth. Just come a little bit back down to earth. Kyle Schwarber, step the heck up. Xander Bogaerts, step the heck up. Hunter Renfroe, you've done absolutely nothing this postseason. Please step the heck up. I need to see more from this Red Sox offense. I need to not have the Astros win a World Series. Please just don't do this to me. Don't make me watch a team lose 100 games for the first time since the second year that they moved here, nearly half a century ago, and then watch the Astros win a World Series that same year. That's just mean, baseball. Don't do that. to Rangers fans. That's not nice. And I know baseball isn't nice. It never has been. Maybe one day it could be. Maybe one day. Just not the cruelest version of itself. I don't know. Maybe that's too much to hope for. But I'm going to hope for it anyway because I have to. Because I don't know what I'm going to do if I watch this Rangers team be so terrible for an entire year, trade away Joey Gallo, and then the Astros win the World Series. I don't know. This is the most, baseball is the most abusive relationship I've ever been in, and I'm hoping it stops abusing me so badly, at least to the point where the Astros don't win the World Series. That's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Rangers. Thank you for making Locked On Rangers your first listen of the day. Always appreciate you listening or watching. If you're not watching on YouTube or not subscribed on YouTube, please go check out the channel. Always appreciate new subscribers and those of you who are loyal subscribers watching every day on YouTube. I appreciate you. Listeners, I appreciate you. Thank you guys so much. Until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.